The Public Handicapper Podcast. This podcast covers select weekend stakes run around the country. This is show number 42, December 6th, 2019. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm a little bit in mourning, but other than that, doing pretty well.
Mourning the loss of Public Handicapper, I trust.
Yes.
It's a sweet sorrow. I feel bad, but at the same time, 21 years is a long time, and it was a lot of work putting in the results every weekend, every Sunday morning, and not having that automated. And it was also an old platform, and I personally like a robust user experience. It wasn't optimized for mobile. There's a lot of things that we can do to improve Public Handicapper. So I'm hopeful that we will have a replacement for it within a couple of months.
And that's what I'm looking forward to. So I think that's probably enough said about that. And we're going to continue on with the podcast in the interim. So let's get to the races.
All right. And just a note that there will not be background music throughout the podcast. We will continue to have the start music and the end music, but no music in between, at least not while we talk. And that is because we polled the electorate. We polled our listeners. And Chris, what were the results of that poll?
It was just about a 2-1 against having music. So for every person who said they wanted to continue with the music, there would be two that said they would like to see us get rid of it. There were some people in between with the comments on Twitter. Well, yeah, I like it, but, turn it down less or don't have it going all the way. But I mean, it seemed like the consensus was they would rather not have the music in the background. So I'm going to interpret that as they didn't want to miss a single word that we had to say.
Did you vote, Chris?
No, I did not vote. But
I did vote. I voted for the music.
In fact, I don't even know if you can vote for your own pool. I don't think you can on Twitter. Maybe. I haven't ever tried it.
Well, it's interesting because I use a Twitter client called Tweetbot. Tweetbot. And the polls don't work on that client. So then I have to log in on Twitter and find the poll. And Twitter's not as easy to use as the Twitter client Tweetbot. And it also has ads and, there's ads all over the place. And on the client, there are no ads. But the negative to the client is that you can't participate in polls. So I did participate and I was one of the people that voted for music. And we still got beat 2-1. All right. Well, hopefully that is not an omen for today's races. Today's races are going to be the 6 stakes races from Aqueduct on Saturday, December 7th. And they start with the first stakes race is in the second race. It's the Winter Memories Stakes, 1/16 on the turf for $150,000 with 3-year-old fillies running. What do you think here?
This is a tough race, and I was having a difficult time trying to zero in on something, but I think the approach I'll take, and this is probably worth talking a little bit about, especially on these turf races in New York, the riders have a tendency to be overly patient and be reluctant to push the pace early. And so sometimes you get really slow paces on these turf routes at Aqueduct. And this race, there are two horses that have a tendency to want to be out on the lead. And there's a chance that they could both hook up and push each other and create a fairly fast pace, which would probably be to their detriment to both of those horses. And the two horses I'm talking about are number three, Jabuticaba, I think is how you'd pronounce that. Jabuticaba, number three, and number 12, On the Town. But you never know what the riders will do. And if they decide if one or both decides they want to try to slow things down up front, it could really work to their favor. And they're both big prices, 15-1 in the morning line. So I think the way I would play this race is to play those two horses, key them, and hope that they don't run each other into the ground. If they do, then I lost on a couple 15-1 shots. But if they do slow it down, one of them decides to take back, or both of them decide to try to grab and you know, slow things down, it could be just a jog early and one of them might get loose and win it. So that's kind of the way I'm thinking. I'm not saying they stand out above the others, but I think they're both capable with the right trip on the front end of winning this race, which seems to be pretty wide open. But there are, you know, five or six other horses in here that certainly could win, especially if they do go fast up front, then I don't think either one probably has a very good chance to win. But at the price, I think that's kind of the way I would play this. Play both those speed horses and hope they don't run each other into the ground.
All right, I'm going to take the opposite approach as you. I think that there's a lot of speed and not just those two horses. Tass, who runs for James Lawrence of Glorious Empire fame, has won her last two races on the lead. And that new running style with Lasix, she just put on Lasix two races ago. I think they're going to be going for the lead. And the time form pace projector is also saying that the 7 is going to be in the mix. And the 7 has run well when near the lead. So I think it is going to be a speedy race no matter what. And I'm looking for a closer. Now, Atomic Blonde, the 4, who's the horse I really like, is not exactly a closer, but she's closer enough. She was third in her last race up until the half, and was not that far back, but also had to be close because she had an inside post position at the start, and it starts right on the turn at Belmont at that distance, a mile and a 16th on the inner turf. So she's proven in her last two races to not need the lead to win. In fact, she only ran on the lead once, and that's when she lost. When she did lose, she lost to Nay Lady Nay, who won last week at 7-1 in the Mrs. Revere at Churchill. So she only has one loss. She's about as fast as the fastest ones here. She's 6-1 morning line. And what I like most about her is that she can not only stay off the pace, but she can have an inside trip and still run. So it's not going to bother her. She had an inside trip the entire trip last race and went on to win. And the horse she beat, Creasy, was an older horse who then went on to win a pretty solid, it wasn't a stakes race, but it looked like it could be a stakes field in an allowance race. So I feel pretty strongly about Atomic Blonde in this race.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they do go fast up front, then it's a completely different race. And so, yeah, certainly Atomic Blonde fits in there. There's quite a few others that, I mean, could run pretty well, especially if it's a quick pace. I mean, the horse to beat, I think, is the 11 horse. That's the horse that could be a real monster in here, I think. Second off a layoff, won its first two starts, has a real strong closing kick. So I'm not saying that's a bet because I think she's the favorite on the morning line. She certainly wouldn't be any surprise at all if she were to run big. And you know, the horse you like, as well, the Grand Motion horse making its second start in the U.S. looks like she could be a good one too. You know, so there, it does seem like it could be a cavalry charge late if they go fast early, and Atomic Blonde could be in there as long as she doesn't. I'm just not quite as confident as you that she won't, if they do go fast early. You know, she's never been more than like a length and a half off the lead. So they have to make sure they don't get sucked into a fast pace if that's what happens. I really don't think that is. I mean, I don't see the 7 horse on the lead at all. It's, I'd be really surprised that that horse is, I mean, it'll be near the lead, but it shouldn't be pushing the lead. And the other horse you mentioned, Tass, goes, Carmooch had ridden that before. He's really aggressive. And that last race was going a much longer distance at a much slower pace up front. And the horse wasn't, so I mean, cutting back in distance with a new rider, you know, maybe they go to the front, but that horse I don't think is nearly as quick as the others. So I still think there's a chance that the 3 or the 12 could get loose, but I'm not going to go crazy on this race. I do think the pace will really make a big difference. I mean, that's what makes these turf races tough, especially in New York. If it is a fast pace like you think it will be, that's completely different than if they, you know, decide to slow it down up front. You know, that could make for a completely different outcome. So this could be a tricky race depending on how it unfolds.
All right. Disagreement on the pod about what the pace is going to be like, which has happened before. I actually forget the last one we disagreed on. I don't remember what horses we were talking about where we
disagreed. It was last week, I think, we had a disagreement. We threw the gauntlet down, or something.
I do not even remember. I don't remember what happened a day before yesterday, much less last week. So,
but just to clarify, I'm not predicting it won't be a fast pace. I just think there is a reasonable chance that it won't be. I won't be surprised at all, like I said, that if the 3 and the 12 hook up. I'm just saying there are many times when you think they would, that they will, and they don't, especially going a route on the turf. And if they don't, you could have a 20-1 shot loose on the lead. And so that's the way I'm going to play it. But it's not like I'm predicting that that's going to happen. I'm just saying there's a, you know, I'd say maybe it's probably less than 50%, but probably a decent chance, 30-40% chance that they won't go fast up front. Neither the 3 or the 12 could be loose on the lead. And so that's the way I'm playing it. It's not like I'm sure that it's going to be a slow pace, you know, like there's no speed in the race or anything like that. It's not what I'm saying. Well, it's just a percentage play.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that percentage is lower, but you know, the chances of it being a slow pace are much lower than 30%, I think. But the beauty part of Atomic Blonde is that it's okay whether it's a fast pace or not. She's never run a half in faster than 48, even when she was on the lead. So she doesn't need the lead. I don't think she'll get sucked into a pace vortex. I like the pick a lot. And I think at 6-1, I will be betting the horse in the Aqueduct contest on Saturday.
Yeah. I think you're a lot more into this race than I am. I'm just sort of making an odds play. I think you really like the horse that you're playing. Mine is just more that's the way I think about it. I just think probabilistically a lot of times, and this is one of those races where I'm not super high on those horses, but the race might unfold in their favor. That's all.
All right. Well, just to prepare our listeners, I'm going to sneak in a little in between music between this race and the next. So get ready. Here it comes. And we're back, and we're going to go to our next race, which is the fourth race at Aqueduct. It's the Autumn Days Stakes. It's 6 furlongs on the outer turf, purse of $125,000 for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. I'll start this one, even though I don't have a strong opinion on this race. I would definitely go deep in this race, and I'm just thinking in terms of price plays, because I think it is pretty open. That Mentality is a horse that has a lot of upside. She's 3 for 6 at the distance. She's a little bit slower than the main contenders, but she is a four-year-old and she's run steady. She ran pretty fast as a three-year-old, and she's due, and she's 12 to 1 morning line or so. So another thing I like about her is that she's won on the lead and off. So if she, no matter what the pace scenario, it doesn't mean that she's out of it. She can adapt to either scenario. It is going to be hard to beat Fire Key. Fire Key is fast, and Mentality is carrying the same amount of weight. So it's a little bit of a reach for to play Mentality. But at the same time, she is going to be a much higher price. So the other horse that I was interested in was Moonlight Romance. The horse is slow. It's the slowest horse in the race, but she is working gangbusters ever since she took about 6 months off, and she's been burning it up on the racetrack at Turfway. I think she should get a nice trip from the outside. And if she has improved and she's indicating that she may be running fast, better than she's run before, then she could also be in there as a at a price.
Well, I think we see this one the same way. I mean, to me, Mentality is really solid. I mean, she never runs a bad race. At 6 to 7 furlongs, she's 4 for 8 and 7 for 8 in the money. And, you know, her last race, she had a little bit of trouble, but it was still probably as good as any race she's ever run. And I just would really be shocked if she's not right there at the finish. And if that morning line holds up, I think she's a must play. And I do agree with you that, you know, Moonlight Romance is the one with a lot of upside. They're both Wesley Ward horses. The thing about Moonlight Romance, if you look at her only two races in the United States that were on firm turf, she had one at Belmont and then one at Kentucky Downs. She absolutely romped in both of those races. I mean, she won for a turf sprint. She won about as easy as you can. And, you know, and she can sit just off or be on the pace. So, and she comes off the layoff, and Wesley Ward's good with these sprinters off layoffs. And like I said, she's on the conditions she'll probably see, unless it turns out to be a yielding or soft course, which I don't think they've had any rain in the forecast today. I know they have been kind of off the turf this week at Aqueduct, but so that's something to keep an eye on. If it isn't firm, that might be a negative for her. But, you know, to me, those two should be right there. And at the price, one of those two probably will go off at a big odds, and maybe both of them. In a race that's really pretty wide open, Fire Key probably... I'm not sure Fire Key, I'd say either Fire Key or Broadway Run are the ones to beat. Broadway Run doesn't seem to like to win races, though. Lately, she's running a lot of seconds and thirds, so I wouldn't be too afraid to try to beat her. And Fire Key, she's solid. She'll probably be there at the end, but she doesn't lay over these horses with her speed figures, and she's not going to improve off of what she's been running recently. And she's got a lot of races under her belt, and she sort of tailed off in the wintertime last year in December and January. So, you know, she might do the same again in here. So I think this is a race where it's pretty wide open. It's worth trying to beat. Those two favorites, I think, are kind of lukewarm, and certainly not unbeatable.
All right. Well, I think I don't have a strong opinion in this race, and I will be going deep in the race. Hopefully, if anybody out there is listening and you have a strong opinion in this race, I would love to hear it. feel free to hit me up on Twitter at CarsoniPH and let me know, because this is not a race that I'm going to play in the contest. But if I play the pick five based on the other races, I would, if I think the pick five is playable, this is a race that I would definitely go deep in. All right. Our next race is the sixth at Aqueduct. It's the Go for One Handicap, a mile on the dirt, purse of $250,000 for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. What did you think here, Chris?
Well, I think the favorite is vulnerable going a mile. Her only route races weren't that great compared to her sprints. Also, you know, she ran a big race off the layoff in Kentucky, and then they shipped her to the Breeders' Cup, and she ran okay, but then they had to ship her back to Churchill, and now they're shipping her to New York. So she's done a lot of shipping. She ran her big race right off the bench. It is Peter Miller, so you have to factor that in. But going a mile, I think she's definitely vulnerable to some of these horses. They aren't quite as fast, but at least they're proven to be able to run as well routing as sprinting. I'm not in love with this race because it's only a six horse field, but I do think in the horizontal plays, this is a race where maybe you take a stand against the favorite. She does seem to have a tactical edge, which again makes me nervous, because if she gets loose and, you know, maybe that's going to help her get the mile. So between that and Peter Miller wizardry, it might get the job done. But at 3-5 on the morning line, this is the kind of horse I think you have to try to beat. And the two horses I would probably consider, one I like the best probably is Our Supernova, who's really sharp right now and is 6-1 in the morning line. And just a repeat of her last race could probably win, or, you know, at least put her right there in the mix. The other horse I kind of like is another broad who seems to be rounding, took the middle of the summer off, probably had some issue, but seems to be rounding back into top form and is probably, you know, the best closer in the race. So, and she's cutting back in distance for this. So I think she'll be finishing really strong. But, you know, I'm not dying to play this as a race other than I think Spice Perfection, even though she probably still is as likely to win as anybody, at the odds is a big underlay.
She's also carrying 124 in this handicap, and that's anywhere from 6 to 10 pounds more than every other horse.
Yeah, you can't ignore that. So, I mean, at the weights, it does bring her back. So, I mean, there are several good reasons to bet against her. And if the morning line is correct, you know, it's really hard not to take a shot against her. That's not to say she couldn't win.
Yeah, I'll add, I'm going to pile on the negatives on Spice Perfection. She's developed a lot since she was a two-year-old, and she ran really big in Keeneland in the spring, and then reacted and was off for several months. She came back, she ran again big at Keeneland, where she stumbled at the start, overcame that stumble, and still won. And that was impressive, but at the same time, she ran about the same number as her earlier race at Keeneland, and maybe it hurt her. At 3-5, this is a horse I want to bet against, especially carrying 124. One other thing I'll note is that in her race at Keeneland that she won two races ago, she had a very strong closer flow from racingflow.com. From their numbers, she was a downgrade going into the Breeders' Cup. And I don't know if they'll still have her as a downgrade. I think they will, but either way, her last win was bias enhanced or flow enhanced. So that's another reason to go against her. the horse that I really actually like a lot here is one you mentioned. It's Another Broad. She is circling back to her best race. I believe she'll run her best race and maybe even run an all-time top in this race. She is 2 for 4 at the distance, going one turn mile. The only negative is that all of her wins are on the slot. So she would be a bet against if she was a heavy favorite. But because she's probably going to be a decent price, she's 7-2 morning line, and maybe if they go crazy on Spice Perfection, she'll be higher than that. I don't know. I can't imagine, but 7-2 seems about right. But at 7-2, I want a player. And at 7-2, her first win on fast dirt, I don't see why it can't happen here. In her last race, she ran against Golden Award, who is a solid horse that beat Wowcat earlier in the year at Saratoga. So, and she was 9 lengths ahead of the third place horse. So I really like Another Broad here. It's my second Pletcher that starts with an A. And if you were interested in another horse to beat Spice Perfection, Saguaro Row also has a shot. She just ran a small top. She's always been fast. She was fast as a 2-year-old. The one thing that prevents me from playing her on top is that her last 8th in her last race was 13 seconds and 13.4 seconds, the last 8th, not adjusted. And time form adjusted figure was 13.08. And that's a really slow final fraction for a race that began really slow. So I'd have a hard time picking her going a mile. But on the numbers, she does fit and is another possibility if you're looking to beat Spice Perfection.
It's probably not even worth talking about because it doesn't sound like you're too high on her anyway. But don't you think she's much better sprinting than routing? I mean, her routes are all pretty bad.
It's a one-turn route, so it's in between, you know?
But, I mean, given that last fraction and the fact none of her routes are bad, I mean, to me it seems like she's kind of a toss. But, again, since you're not that strong on her and she's not going to be a favorite, it's probably not worth much of a debate.
Yeah, to me, the big difference in distance, the most important part of distance is 2 turns versus 1 turn. And because it's 1 turn, I feel like she might be able to get it. It's sort of more of a sprint race than a route race. And I'm just trying to look up right now to see. She did run a 1-turn mile and ran very poorly. So, but that was against Monomoy Girl. So, I'm not going to be betting her, but there is an angle on her in case somebody else, if you see something you like about Saguaro Row, she did run a small new top and she's always been fast. That's the most that I can say about her. But, I'm likely not using her anywhere.
All right. So are you thinking about playing Another Broad in the contest? Do you like her that much?
I do like Another Broad that much. I will absolutely be betting Another Broad. And depending on what my bankroll is, it could be a lot. So, yes, I feel that strongly about her.
All right. So you definitely have a more of a firm opinion on this race than I do. My only opinion really is I'm anti Spice Perfection. So hopefully this will get you, I don't know if it'll get you off to a good start, but at least a good middle game on the contest if you can hit this one.
I sure hope so. All right. The next race is the 8th race at Aqueduct. It's the Demoiselle Stakes at 1 1/8 on the dirt, a purse of $250,000 for 2-year-old fillies. I'll start this one. It seems like a fair amount of speed here. I went with Critical Value. Critical Value is a New York bred that has a pretty nice line. She's maybe a little slower than some of the others here, but I just like the feel of her line. Alvarado goes to the Mott horse on the outside because he thinks that horse has more talent, and that horse may have more talent. I think she will probably run faster down the road. But today it looks like Critical Value's race at 8-1. So I watched her last race. It was a handy win. She's got plenty of spacing into this. The breeding is right. A Bodemeister, I think. That's the horse I like. I also like 50 Shades of Green. She's fast enough. She will be ignored. She's 15-1 morning line. Her race in her last race was workmanlike win, but she galloped out far ahead of everybody else. The one negative I will say, and that's why she's not my top pick, is that outside closers seem to have an edge at Monmouth on that day. All of the two-turn races on the Monmouth main track were won by outside closers. So I'll leave it at those two and see what you have to say.
Okay, I kind of see what you're thinking in Critical Value. So at a good price, that's one I definitely wouldn't talk you off of. In this race, I have one, I think, pretty solid long shot and one very speculative, but a fun one anyway. So I'll talk about the solid one first. Is the 11 horse Water White. I got to be careful because I like to say white water on this one in my mind. Water White, to me, just is rock solid. Absolutely fits in here off of its first three races. Both route races were solid. Just essentially just as fast as anybody in the race. Just a lot to like other than the post position is probably the thing that is the biggest challenge for that horse. But if she can avoid getting hung out wide, and there's a lot of early speed, and she has tactical speed. So I'm hoping that the really quick horses, you know, horses like the four horse and the nine horse and even the outside horse at Lake Avenue that you mentioned, those horses sprint out and set a fast pace. And there's a decent run to that turn, but not a big run. And then she can tuck in behind the front runners in the one or two path. And if she gets that trip, I think she definitely fits with these horses at 10-1. That's pretty good value. And then the real speculative horse I like in here is number 3, Glass Ceiling. I think there's a chance she could break through that glass ceiling. And the reason I say that is last year, the trainer, Danny Gargan, had a horse named Tax, who he claimed out of a race at Keeneland and brought him to New York right off the claim and entered him in the Remsen, which is the next race we're going to talk about. It's the 2-year-old analog to this race, which I think, I don't remember what they call this race, but it's the colt version of this race.
Yeah, this is the Demoiselle.
Yeah, Demoiselle. And the Remsen, and he ran a giant race. He ended up running third, but he didn't have the best of trips, and he improved immensely from what he had ran at Keeneland. And he's trying to, and it had the same owner, so they're trying to repeat that, see if Lightning can strike twice with this horse. I think her breeding is good. Constitution has really been a good 2-year-old sire. Empire Maker on the bottom side, that's stamina breeding, so she should be able to handle the stretch out, even though she hasn't gone two turns yet. And she had trouble in both her starts, including her last one, where she broke poorly. And then the jockey rushed her up on the inside. But once he caught the pack and he grabbed her and she relaxed. And she then when he asked her turning for home, she just opened up, grabbed the lead, and then just extended her lead, galloped out well. So she looked like a good one. And I just think there's a good chance that maybe they can pull off the same trick. And maybe she doesn't win, but she, even if she hits a board, she's probably going to be the longest price, maybe the second longest price in the race. So to me, that's a real interesting long shot in here.
She could blow up the super.
Could blow up the super.
The only comment I have on Water White, I really don't like the horse. I like the numbers. I think the horse is fast enough. But I don't like the short rests and now stretching to two turns. It's just one of those angles that I have. She sort of matched her best race in her last and just, you know, barely won. And now she's starting from the 11 hole and stretching to two turns. So I'm against her. There's not a lot of value in going against her because she's 10 to 1. But that's just a counterpoint. And to sort of, so for other people that might be listening and are weighing the pros and cons of these horses, now that doesn't mean that the horse can't win. But it's a pretty reliable, angle for me. And it applies also to Lake Avenue, who's 9-2 morning line, but maybe more because she won so impressively in her last. She not only starts from the outside, but she goes from 7 furlongs to 9 furlongs. So that's a whole quarter mile. And she only comes in here off of 3 weeks rest. And that's an angle that I totally crush in betting against all the time. That doesn't mean she can't get in the money, but I would play against her on the win end. And in pick ends, I would not include her. And then I'll just add a positive comment to your glass ceiling. Not only did the horse get bothered both her first, but at the start of her last two races, but she's working out better than she has ever before. So just slightly better than ever, but that's always a positive. The next race is the 9th race at Aqueduct. It's the Remsen Stakes, 1 1/8 on dirt, purse of $250,000 for 2-year-old males this time. And we'll let you start this one, Chris. What were you thinking?
Well, in this one, I think the favorites are pretty good. The one horse, not a whole lot of knocks on that horse. It looks pretty solid. That's a Pletcher horse. And then the 8 horse, again, looks pretty solid. So I think Pletcher has a strong hand in here. And those are the two to beat. So I'm not super thrilled about this race, but probably the horse I like in here the most at a price is, well, there's two probably. It's the number 6 horse, Shotsky, who I think there's not a lot of pace in here, surprisingly, for a 2-year-old graded stakes race. And I think a Louis Saez tends to be the jockey in the New York jocks room that seizes the opportunity in these kinds of races and will put his horse on the lead in a situation like this. And I think this horse on the lead could be tough to run down. So the 6 horse at a price, I think, is interesting, and it has been working well for this race. So, and and from a breeding standpoint, the horse is really bred top and bottom to handle a little extra distance. So Shotsky's kind of interesting. The other horse that's a little bit speculative is the 9 horse Amends, who won really easily last time out with a slow race in an off the turf race on the slop. But the horse is by Uncle Mo out of Medaglia d'Oro mare. So it's bred to run on dirt and it's bred to like the distance. And Shug McGahee doesn't push on these horses at all. So I don't put too much stock in the speed figures and the first couple races. I think this horse has some talent. It did win that race easily. So it wouldn't shock me if that horse runs a big race in here at a price. So the 6 Shotsky, the 9 Amends, I think are both potential value plays. But I do think the 2 Pletcher horses, the 1 Chase Tracker and the 8 Alpha 66 are pretty solid and will take some beating.
Yeah, I don't love this race either. My top pick was the same as yours, Shotsky. Showed some speed in his maiden win, so he can either take the lead here or be very close to it. Got a good number in the last and was just behind Silver Prospector, who went on to win the Kentucky Jockey Club over Tis the Law. He also shows his fastest workout ever since that race, and that's always a positive. So breeding wise, has a sibling who was fast dirt routing, and definitely the price play. I do think Chase Tracker and Alpha 66 look solid. I wouldn't bet a lot of money on this race. In the contest, I doubt I'll be using it, although I will probably have some kind of double with Shotsky because there will be value in that double going into the 10th race.
Yeah, it sounds like we see this race pretty much the same.
We'll go next to the Cigar Mile Handicap, the 10th race at Aqueduct. It's a mile on the dirt. It's a pretty solid field, a purse of $750,000 for three-year-olds and up. I guess it's my turn to start, so I will go ahead and say that my pick, and it's a pretty strong pick, is Bal Harbor. He has the fastest speed figure, at least on the sheets, of all these horses. Actually, Whitmore has one that's faster from 2 years ago, but he is the sharpest speed figure from this year. He gets in at 117 and has a good post. And I like the pattern where a horse runs a really big race, but not so big that it's going to kill him. And Bal Harbor was fast as a two-year-old. And the race that he ran three races ago at Monmouth, It makes sense that he ran that fast. Now, it doesn't look that fast on Buyer. It was only 101 Buyer figure, but Buyer doesn't take into account that he was three wide the entire trip. And Mike Smith rode the horse a little overconfidently. And War Story, who's the horse that won, was just, he ran his eyeballs out that race and hasn't won since. So I think Bal Harbor just got unlucky in that race. His next race, he didn't run badly. He finished second to Preservationist and still beat Yoshida. Then in his next race, just tossed that slop race at Keeneland. He was due to have an off race, like a completely off race. And he has the pattern, the old O2X pattern, which on the sheets means they run a top, then react 2 points, and then run a complete toss race. And that last race was the toss race at Keeneland in the slop. And usually you want some kind of an excuse for them to run a really toss race like that. And the slop was it, the slop and the ship. He has enough speed to sit a pocket trip right behind the speed. And he gets 5 pounds from Maximum Security and 3 pounds from Spun to Run. And he's the fastest horse and he's going to get an inside trip. To me, he's kind of a no-brainer play.
Yeah, when I looked at this race, the first thing I thought to myself is, this is like, there's a horse in here that absolutely I know Scott's going to like. It's like a poster child for the kind of horse that he loves to play. And the same thing could be said for a different horse in the race. For me, it's the kind of horse that I love to play. So in like 30 seconds, I knew exactly who you were going to like and who I was going to like in this race. So it was Bal Harbor, and I like Bal Harbor too. For all the reasons you said, I think even his race in the slop wasn't that bad. It was the fastest he's ever run on a sloppy track. And other than his two big races in the summer, it was as good as anything he'd ever ran. So, you know, he could be tailing off. You could read it that way, but you could also say, you know, he could bounce back and run a good race in here. And like you said, he's the fastest horse in the race. And even though he's an older horse, he's getting weight from the three-year-olds, which is unusual for sure. And he drew a good post and he's got a good rider. And his trainer has been kind of hot at the end of the year here in the big races. So really solid play if you get the 8-1 morning line. Definitely.
Now, I want to interject before you say your pick, because I know how you handicap as well. And I know that your horse is Network Effect.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I was going to like pick a hypothetical horse and I was going to create some past performances to represent that horse, this is the kind of horse that could just run a jaw dropper race. Then I couldn't come up with anything much different than Network Effect. I mean, this horse has it all for me. I mean, he showed some brilliance as a two-year-old in just a few races. In fact, he showed enough for me after his race in Aqueduct. This was a horse I played a Derby future on. Yeah, I played this horse in the Derby future. This is a horse I spoiler alert, I lost my money because he never even got to the races for another year, which wasn't until early November. But then he came back and he did exactly what I want to see in a comeback race. And, you know, the fact that he ran what he ran, just exactly the number I'd like to see. That year between the winner of your two-year-old year and the winner of your three-year-old year, a healthy horse can improve immensely. I mean, the horses that were running the Triple Crown this year, all were running, you know, probably 10 to 20 buyer points faster in the summer than they were in the fall as a two-year-old. And this horse has had a full year since then, you know, like a 20-point buyer jump from what they were running in as a two-year-old to the end of the three-year-old year, not that unexpected. And this is the race where you'll see that jump if he's got it in him. And I think he does. I mean, his last few workouts have been the best works of his career. Second off a layoff. That race was, I'm sure, a prep for this. I mean, this is probably the target. Chad Brown is the type of trainer who always has targets. He's always thinking a race or two ahead. And, you know, Castellano was on. He could have ridden looking at Bikinis, who also is a live long shot in here, I think. But he chose Network Effect. This horse, I think, just could run a monster race in here. And if you can get 15-1, I doubt you will. But you might, with Maximum Security and Spun to Run in here, they could get hammered. You could get double-digit odds on this horse. And this is the kind where, in hindsight, you know, it might look like, you know, the bet of the year. So I absolutely love Network Effect in here. I do like Bell Harbor as well.
Would you say you're pounding the table, telling people to bet this horse?
I'd say this, if there's a pound the table horse, this is it right here. You know, I typically am not the pound the table kind of guy. I'm more of a look at what the price should be and what the price is, and you play the price. And, you know, it's, sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But this horse, just everything about him screams play me. I mean, if I could just see these past performances out of the corner of my eye, I'd just right away want to go play this horse. The fact that I lucked out and he's in a race with, you know, two horses that are likely to get absolutely hammered in Maximum Security and Spun to Run, that just now if he had run in a listed stakes, he'd be 3-5 and I wouldn't be able to make any money on it. But this is where they actually spotted him in a race where, if he runs the way I think he can, I can actually make some money on it. So this is definitely the kind of race where, you know, I'm going to make kind of a maximum sort of bet for me, and really key him and hope maybe to hook him up with a horse like Bell Harbor. You know, get Maximum Security and Spun to Run out of the Exacta, but you know, I might still use those two with him. But this is definitely the key to the race, and by far the play of the day for me on this Aqueduct card.
Fantastic. Well, we love to hear opinions like that. I will also note that Network Effect ran his fastest workout ever for him since that last race. So that does indicate that he's sharp. He also not only beat the horse Air Touch in his last race, they were both six lengths ahead of the third place horse, but he also galloped out very nicely. I will use Network Effect. You crush with this angle, and when I ignore it, I regret it. So I'm going to use him for sure, but I'm going to have a hard time beating Spun to Run in this race. I think Bal Harbour is the play, especially carrying only 117. But Spun to Run, not only did he win that last race against Omaha Beach, he galloped out huge, like 8 to 9 lengths ahead. He was the only horse that was on the lead that day on Breeders' Cup Day. And he's been working out sensationally. So I will have a big exact with Bal Harbour, Spun to Run. I think Spun to Run is not very vulnerable. I think he's got a perfect post position there, right outside Max Security. I will be playing those two, but I'm going to use Network Effect liberally. Maximum Security is a solid horse. He's got the inside post. He's going to have the lead. So he's in a good position, and I don't think he's a complete toss, but I will be betting pretty aggressively against him. Did you have any comments on Spun to Run?
I think he's real solid, but I mean, maybe he was the only one that won the lead, but he got a pretty dream trip, I thought. I mean, in that last race, he got an easy lead all the way around. So never really took any pressure. So, but I do think he's rock solid. I don't have any knocks against him, but do you know what the weight is that Castellano can ride at?
It's 114 or 15.
So, you know, he's getting 5 pounds. Network Effect, not only at, so, you know, at the weights, Spun to Run is not any faster, really. And Network Effect has much more upside than Spun to Run, I think. So, you know, I'll take those two head to head. I would say I'd still go with Network Effect, especially, you know, obviously at the price. But I do think I'll probably use Spun to Run. And, you know, Maximum Security, I've been trying to beat him. I did beat him once. I did the one time he lost, I did bet against him. But, you know, he's outrun my expectations repeatedly. So, you know, I don't want to underestimate him. But, you know, carrying all that weight, again, he and Spun to Run at the weights really aren't faster than the other, you know, horses that like Network Effect or Looking Bikinis, and Bal Harbour's actually run faster. So, you know, to me, this is the kind of race that is a really good betting race.
And they might just absolutely crush Maximum Security. You know, he could be lower than 3 to 5 just because they go nuts with him.
Yeah, although I think Spun to Run will get a lot of respect at the windows too, coming off that big Breeders' Cup win. Before, he didn't get respect, but I think that race is probably going to gain him some respect as well. So I do think those two will get bet heavily, but definitely Maximum Security is going to be the favorite.
All right. Well, great race, great card for contest betting. We like different races. We have different opinions in different races, and that's fine. We also have a few similar opinions. I do think that Network Effect is a viable candidate, especially with your sort of trademarked angle of the day. Let's see what happens. It's going to be a great race, and look forward to playing the contest tomorrow at Aqueduct. I think you might be playing the Express Bet contest that also includes Aqueduct. Are you going to be playing that contest?
I'm not sure yet, because I haven't, until you mentioned it this morning, I didn't really know anything about it. So I have to look at that. But yeah, I probably will, because I'll probably want to play Network Effect. So Yeah.
You know, if you see it, if you see a horse that comes along like that, that's carrying less weight, that you think has so much upside, you have to take advantage of it. And why not only bet it, but win a contest with it?
Yeah. So I probably will, though. I can't say for sure because I haven't really looked at the contest.
Now, the Claiming Crown is running at Gulfstream Park, and it's their first weekend of their first big weekend of racing of the meet. I've only glanced at one or two of the races, but I know you have a few opinions and maybe some betting strategy for the Claiming Crown. What did you like, or what are your angles going into that card?
Well, the thing about the Claiming Crown, it's unique in that it brings together these claimers from all over the country in races with six-figure purses. So what it comes down to, unfortunately, is really you have to figure out which equine sorcerer has the best magic, right? That's kind of what it comes down to in these races. And there are, you know, to me, whenever you're playing claiming races, you have to recognize that these guys can really move horses up. And I've kind of developed some guidelines on where they tend to be the most successful and where they're not quite as successful. So I thought it'd be worth sharing those. First of all, and I'm not going to try to explain why, because I don't necessarily know. But typically, these guys are more likely to move a horse up on the dirt than they are on the turf. So for whatever reason, if, you know, pay more attention to the horses on the dirt. The other thing is they typically are able to move up horse, and this is just for the claiming wizards, the claiming sorcerers. They are more likely to move a horse up if it's shown natural early speed recently or somewhere in its past performances. And especially if in the recent races they really have kind of lost that speed, or they still show speed, but they don't ever finish where they, you know, back sometime in the past they used to be able to maintain that speed. Those are the kind that are.
Just for our listeners' edification, can you mention some of the sorcerers that you're speaking of?
No, I'd rather not mention any names. I think most people know who they are anyway. I'm going to keep this more generic. It kind of depends on the circuit you play. But a bunch of those are entering horses in this claiming ground. So I'm not going to name any names. You'll have to figure that out on your own.
Well, I will name one of the sorcerers is Jorge Navarro. And certainly you have to give his horses respect, especially if they're a price.
Yeah, if they're a price. So typically you don't get a price on their horses on their normal circuits, but that's another thing that makes this a little bit different because they're all running together for these big purses. You might get a price, and plus they tend to have some of them have two or three in a race. So, you know, you might get a price on those horses. So to me, the ones that they move up, you know, a dirt sprinter that showed speed in the past, those are the kind they could move up. And the other thing is, you know, one of the more powerful potions they have is what I call the Fountain of Youth potion. And that is for a horse that recently hasn't run very well, but has at some time in its career, might even been several years ago, you know, was running pretty good races, just hasn't shown that form at all recently. You know, they can all of a sudden, you know, bring those horses back to life. And suddenly they can be running back to those numbers they ran several years ago. So, you know, probably the most dangerous kind of horse is a horse that in the past had some speed, you know, a year or two ago and hasn't done much lately, and it's a dirt sprinter and they just claimed the horse. Then probably the ones that they're least likely to move up are like turf routers that come from off the pace. Those are the kind for in the claiming ranks You're not going to see them move up. And then the last thing I'd say about it is, for those of you who are kind of like Lord of the Rings fans, it's sort of like the Ring of Power. If you use the power repeatedly, it takes its toll on the person using it. Eventually, Smeagol turns into Gollum. And that's the same thing, that these horses can't continue to run big numbers forever, and they tend to tail off, kind of get used up. So probably they're most dangerous, you know, the first race or two or three off the claim. So that's kind of just guidelines for how to handicap those guys, because that is a big part, unfortunately, of handicapping races, claiming races in today's world. You got to know how to deal with those guys. Typically, they're not worth betting on their horses because they're so overbet, because everyone knows that they move horses up. But on a day like this, you might get a price on those kind of horses. So that's something to keep in mind as you look through all the races. I haven't handicapped all the Claiming Crown races, but there was one race that where I did like some long shots that aren't sorcerer trained horses, at least not well-known sorcerers anyway. That was the eighth race at Gulfstream. I thought it looked like this would be a race with a very hot early pace and that a horse could come from behind. And I thought both the one and the two horse, Bobby G and number two, Tudere, were horses that fit numbers wise. They drew good posts. They had good riders that liked to save ground, and they could take advantage of a fast early pace. And one is 12-1, the other is 15-1, the morning line. I thought that race looked like a very good betting race, and those two were very live long shots. That was the eighth at Gulfstream Park, the number one and two. And that's about the only strong opinion I had at the races I had looked at, and I hadn't spent a lot of time on that card.
Okay, I have a few opinions. I would agree with you on the sorcerer at angle, especially with Jorge Navarro. And I've noticed a couple of things. I really only noticed one thing, actually, with him, and that is when he takes over a horse, if he has the horse working out faster than it ever has, then you have to consider it. And that would put in the 10th race, the Claiming Crown Jewel, that would put both of his horses, Holiday Bonus and Ectobar, in the mix. Holiday Bonus is circling back to a number that might win this race. It's a two-turn race. He doesn't have speed, but it's a two-turn race, so he's more likely to be able to win the race from behind. And he's got the rail post. So he's circling back to a good number. And he worked out before his layoff race, which was on the turf, which you can toss because it was on the turf. He worked out his best 5 furlongs ever. So then he improved in his dirt race, and he's now third off a layoff. The horse is definitely live at 12-1. And I know this is part of the Express Bet contest, along with it's this card and Aqueduct. So that could be relevant for people. The other horse is Ectobar, the 7 horse. He was always fast for Kieran McLaughlin, and he has been working out in September and October. He recorded his 2 fastest workouts ever. And, you know, I'm using Formulator so that I can see every single workout since this horse is, you know, any workout that's been recorded with this horse and every other horse. And he ran in September and October his 2 fastest workouts, 47 and 2, 4 furlong workouts, 2nd out of 73 horses and 2nd out of 86 horses. So this horse is live and it's also got Kendrick Carmouche on it, has run close to the pace. It is a 2-turn race, so that's not a requirement, but I would give this horse also extra consideration at 10-1. And frankly, the race is wide open. So if I do venture into the contest at on ExpressBet, which includes the Gulfstream, then I would definitely play these horses. And I like a couple of horses in the last race.
Can I jump in just for a second on Ectobar?
Yeah.
Just one other thing to point out on him, because I think he is live. What I like about that is that he claimed this horse 3 months ago, obviously pointing for this race, because he's gave it that time off. And plus, he's really good off the claim, but he's really good off the claim when he gives him a little time. So it's clear he claimed that horse with this race in mind and just trained him up to it. And so, you know, you're going to get the full power right here of all the magic that Jorge Navarro has in his, you know, wand or potion, because, you know, this was clearly intentional from the start. The claim, everything about this says he was pointing and gearing this horse up for this race. So, you know, I think that's a real strong positive in his favor.
Yeah. And the workouts, this is just something I've definitely noticed. It doesn't work every time, but I've noticed when you're questioning the form of a horse, if it's clearly, if it's within its first three races with Jorge Navarro and it's working out as good as it ever has, then it's live. And I wouldn't be surprised if this horse is a lot lower than 10 to 1. I wouldn't be surprised if he was 3 to 1, because he was under 2 to 1 in his last three races under Kieran McLaughlin. So people recognize that this horse is pretty fast.
And like you said, that's a wide open race. There's other horses, but I just wanted to mention that one thing that he really looks like he pointed towards this race.
Okay. And the, in the 11th race, I did notice a couple of horses that I like. One is a Kieran McLaughlin trained horse. That is the 3 Hieroglyphics, who seems to be in very good form, has run 4 races off a year-long layoff, and just ran his 2 best races ever. They were both claiming races, so maybe the quality wasn't that great, but he was at least 3 wide on both turns in both of those races. And so he's pretty live at 8 to 1. And then the other horse is the 8 Patriot Drive, who is trained by Michael Maker, who's been known to win some of these claiming crown races, ran his best race ever 3 races ago, at least on my figures. Off the claim, he ran at Kentucky Downs, a nice race where he was 2nd. That was his top race. And since then, he is circling back to that race. And I'd say I would lean a little bit more towards Patriot Drive, but I would use both of them if I was playing doubles in the contest.
Yeah, that I agree. Those horses look live. Just a bomb, not necessarily to win, but that could hit the board in that race is the 11 horse Spring Up, who's been working well. His last race was in the slop, and the horse absolutely hates the slop, so I would toss that. And he's been running on some dirt races lately, but he's back on the turf where he belongs. And he actually 2 years ago ran 4th in this race and actually didn't get a great trip that day. So that's going back a ways, but back on the turf at Gulfstream, I think this horse has shown, you know, he can run a good race. And if he can run back to what he used to run on the turf, he could definitely hit the board, and he's 20 to 1 in the morning line.
Woo! 20 to 1. I'm just taking a quick look. And yeah, he fits on the numbers. Absolutely. Jose Delgado. So another horse to consider. I would probably, if I play in the contest, I'll have some kind of double going into this horse too, because he's likely to be a really nice price. And he's won 3 of his last 4.
Yeah, even on the dirt, where he's really not a dirt horse. So.
Yeah, and he's won 3 of his last 4, and his last one loss was on the slop. All right. Well, any other plays, any other mentions, any other things to offer before we sign off?
No, I think we covered it. Actually, a really nice card, though, at Aqueduct, obviously. And, you know, these Claiming Crown races, there'll be some interesting plays in there as well. And, you know, now we're gearing up for the next big event. Well, at least it used to be a big event, was opening day at Santa Anita coming up in a few weeks. I always look forward to that. This year, you know, it's a little bit of a mixed bag with everything associated with Santa Anita, but, you know, starting to get into the holiday spirit and holiday handicapping.
All right. Well, we always played the Malibu card on Public Handicapper. And I'm sure we'll cover it in some kind of a pod, just not sure when we'll record it. But look forward to that. And that's the highlight of the rest of the year, for sure.
Hopefully.
That will conclude show number 42 of the PH Pod. Thank you, Chris. Thanks to our listeners. And thanks to our favorite band, the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.